Hello. Welcome to the Our Lady of Perpetual Help podcast series, recorded live during the liturgy at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Catholic Church in Ellicott City, Maryland. This homily is from the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2017.
We've been really blessed over these last days with the festival that we've been celebrating. It's in celebration of 20 years of Eucharistic adoration here, but the real heart of what we've been doing is wanting to celebrate the gift of the Lord's power and presence in the Eucharist. And over these last days, we've just had some incredible, wonderful things happening. So much of it has happened because of the generosity of so many of our parishioners, men and women, you that have been working so hard through the healing mass on Thursday, and then the dinner outdoors, the festival of praise outdoors on Friday, all of the events that happened yesterday with our kids, and into what will happen tonight. Tonight, the festival will end at 6 o'clock when we'll bring the 5 o'clock mass to an end, and we'll bring the Lord Jesus in the Eucharist, in the monstrance, out of the church, and then we'll have an evening procession that will take us to the western, southern, eastern, and northern spots of the campus, and from there, ask the Lord, present in the gift of the Eucharist, to pour out his blessings on all of the communities, the homes, the neighborhoods, or all around our parish. You know the story of Jericho, the fall of Jericho, when the Lord had the Israelites march around the city, and 7 times they marched. And they weren't just marching, they were worshiping the Lord. And in that time of worship, the Lord brought down the walls of Jericho so that they could enter in and then dwell in the city. Well, what we're going to be doing tonight to bring the festival to an end is pretty much the inverse of that. We're going to be asking the Lord to pour out his blessings, his grace upon all of the communities, neighborhoods around us, from Ellicott City to Columbia to Elkridge to Catonsville, but asking the Lord to bring down any spiritual walls or barriers that are keeping our own neighbors, our loved ones, our families and friends from finding and experiencing the Lord's mercy and love here in the life of the parish. And we know that there's always a very real spiritual battle that's going on, and it's been going on since Adam and Eve when they were first tempted and lured away from God. We experience it. And so to end the festival, we're asking the Lord, present in the gift of the Eucharist, to remove and bring down any spiritual obstacles that might be standing in the way, and for him to pour out his blessings on all of those who live in our own neighborhoods all around the parish, that more and more might come to know the gift of his love, his mercy, his healing that's given to us here in the Eucharist. You know, all of us have friends and neighbors and family members who were perhaps raised Catholic, but maybe for decades, faith has not been a part of their life. Something happened along the way that caused them to either veer off or deliberately say, I don't want any more of that anymore. But whatever it might be, we're asking the Lord tonight to open up the doors, bring down any walls, that they might find the fullness of his love, his mercy, his healing here in the gift of the life of our parish, and specifically in the gift of the Eucharist, in his body and blood at Mass. So that's how we're bringing the whole festival to an end. But it's been an amazing 4 days so far. You are welcome. I'd love to have you come back tonight at 6. We'll be timing it so that we'll be moving out and shifting into those final prayers. But over these days, it's been such an incredible blessing. For me, I'm so grateful that we get to do this as a parish. You know, the sad thing is that there are still so many Christians for whom Sunday worship and Mass is an obligation. And it's like, well, if I got to be there. But like, none of this is in that realm at all. This is like the privilege that we have to be able to step way out beyond the normal place that the typical Catholic experiences their faith and push out and do stuff that is just, it's amazing, it's incredible. And for me as a priest, like, this is the best part of it, is to be able to help lead our parish family out into things that are new or stretching the boundaries for us. But all of this is a step out in faith, asking the Lord, Lord, we believe that you're real. We believe that you're really here in the Eucharist. So we want to bring that out. We want to bring that out like we did for the healing mass on Thursday. We want to bring it out literally as we did on Friday night when we filled up that whole part of our campus lawn as we were worshiping the Lord. But that's what this is all about, is we've received gifts that are so good that we need to bring them out. But so many of you have helped make these days happen, and for that I am so grateful for your generosity in serving, all that you've given to make it happen. But there's still more the Lord is asking us to do. And so this is kind of only still the beginning of what he'll be leading us in the coming weeks, months, and in the years ahead. But I want to thank you for working with me and allowing us to have such great days of celebration. Let me give a word about the gospel now, still in light of the whole festival that we're celebrating and the gift of the Lord's body and blood. In the gospel parable that the Lord shares with us, we have the story of a landowner who throughout the day calls these workers to go into his vineyard. In a very familiar way, we hear how at the end of the day, he gives each of them the same wage. And those who worked only 1 hour, they're paid first. Those who worked the whole day, they're paid last. They expect they're going to get more money. And when they don't, they complain and they grumble. And they can't figure it out. Wait a minute, we worked longer than they did. This is just not fair. We worked longer, but you gave them the same amount. Notice that the starting point for those workers was what they did. I worked more, I should get more. And to the landowner, you owe me. What they forgot was where it all started. It all begins with the generosity of the landowner. That's God the Father in the parable. It all begins with the generosity of the landowner. He goes out to the marketplace and he says to them, you, go into my vineyard. I want to give you an opportunity to use your strength and your skills to go out and to be productive and make something happen this day. But it all begins with the landowner's generosity. He goes to the marketplace. He invites them in to work. They forgot that. They were thinking, like, it all started with them. I chose to work. I chose to give my whole day for this. And because of that, this is not fair. It's amazing how dramatically the attitude of the heart can change when we forget that everything begins with the generous initiative of God. He's the landowner who takes the first step. And so whether you worked an hour or 8 hours, it all begins with the fact that he didn't have to do this for you. He did not have to go out and seek you out in the marketplace. He did not have to invite you in to the vineyard. He did not have to do any of that. When we forget that, we can complain and we can grumble and it can become all about us. But when you remember that it all begins with the fact that God didn't have to do any of that, suddenly, when we realize that, Lord, if you had not come out and called us in, had you not taken the initiative, we wouldn't have anything. We'd still be hanging around the marketplace idle. God's generosity as the initiative, the starting point, that levels the whole playing field. And I want you to hear that heart of God's generosity today. I want you to be just renewed in that. Everything that we get to enjoy in our life, everything from the gift of life forward, it all begins because he took the initiative and he didn't have to. So the starting point for every one of us is God's great and amazing generosity. When that is first in our hearts and our minds, then we see the whole of life differently. That generosity is certainly made evident here in the gift of his body and blood. We didn't come up with this idea. We didn't go to him and ask him to be this generous. It really all is a gift. It's all a grace. Unearned, unmerited, freely given from the heart of God the Father. And when we remember that and know that, it changes everything. During these days of the festival, one of the things we've been praying for and want to push today is I want to encourage you to keep taking advantage of the gift of the Lord present in the Eucharist in those times of adoration in the chapel when he's there. He chooses to meet us, and he wants us to experience the beauty of that encounter in a very real way as we go into adoration and we spend time with him. And I've been trying over the summer different times to keep encouraging you, take advantage of his real presence there. Go to him, whatever hour of whatever day, pour out your hearts before him. Know that he's there for you. And he's there because he loves you so generously. So I'm going to wrap up my words now, and I want to invite Joe Scora to come up for a minute and share with you a little bit of his own experience in adoration as an encouragement to you to take advantage of the opportunity that we have. And at the end of Mass, you'll have a chance to help us fill up some of the remaining hours that still need to be filled and maybe even hopefully stretch it out now into a new day during the week when we can extend adoration by another 24 hours. Joe.
Thank you, Father. Good morning. As Father Arnold mentioned, my name is Joe Scora. My wife and I have three children. We've been in the parish here for several years. I work with the Encounter High School Youth Group, serve on the Pastoral Council, and do my best to make it to the early Saturday morning Cornerstone meetings when I can. 19 years ago, after 30 years as a Catholic, I discovered the real presence of our Lord in the Eucharist, and it was profound. A year or so later, a friend and I were called, and we signed up to become regular adorers at OLPH. Our hour was from 1 to 2 a.m. on Saturdays, and that might sound like it's rough, but it was in fact quite amazing, and so amazing that in a short time we had two other friends join us. Over the years, the first friend I'd signed up with moved away, and I had to stop for a variety of reasons, but my other two friends remained faithful to that hour, adoring our Lord every Saturday morning from 1 to 2 a.m. until they were forced by illness to stop last year, early in the year. And I knew it was my time to come back and stand in the gap. Adoration has changed my life. It's changed my family's lives. Spending time in his presence, I've learned to trust Jesus and love him deeply as a friend and savior. I have more hope now in the midst of any adversity I face. And I give him my problems confident that only he can get me through them. At adoration, Jesus, our Mother Mary, and Joseph have gently led me to be a better husband, father, friend, and worker. Everything in my life has changed, made new by Jesus during adoration. I encourage you to make adoration a regular part of your prayer life. And I invite you to consider signing up as an adorer for an hour each week, or as a substitute to help the other adorers when they're not able to come. But if you can't commit to a time, please come whenever you can and experience our Lord's real presence while he transforms your heart and your mind. There's information about adoration on the web portal that's listed in the bulletin and on the parish website, and I'll be in the narthex after Mass if you have any questions about adoration or are interested in signing up. Thank you.
Joe, thank you for that heartfelt sharing. I couldn't put it better. I hope that you heard what Joe shared there. What a gift that the Lord gives us. So generous in coming down and being so close to us. Like, you know, how often do we complain, where are you? Why am I going through this in life? Why don't you hear me? And all the while, he's here. He's here. Yes, it requires faith, but it's always required faith. Like love, it's never something that you can so contain that you can kind of just nail it down and walk away from it. Love requires a trust in the other. Love requires the same kind of faith that our belief in God requires as well, that the two are very deeply united. But I want to encourage you to take advantage of the gift that we've been given of the Lord's real presence here.
Thank you for listening to the Our Lady of Perpetual Help podcast series. We invite you to visit our website at www.olphparish.org to get connected with everything our parish has to offer.